I'm very happy that I get to speak to our next guest, but I wish it was under better circumstances. I'm constantly amazed as we've been following what's been going on in the Middle East, how many of my friends from childhood, from high school, from college, from my entire life are in the thick of it. And you never know who you're going to end up growing up with. You never know who you're going to end up staying friends with. You never know who you're going to run into later in life. There's an organization called Zaka. They're a Jewish search and rescue organization that's been doing a lot of amazing things in Israel. They're actually in the middle of their fundraiser right now. If you see these big concerts, these big events, or you see on TV people doing search and rescue in Israel, and they're wearing these neon vests, no, they are not Antifa members, my friends. They are members of Zaka. They're doing God's work by helping to save, to rescue, and sometimes to recover people as well. Joining me now on the KVI studio line, Jesse Vogel, Micha Leder, John Strick, and Isaac Stern. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having us.
Jesse, I'll start with you because you're the one who organized this. Why don't you tell me what Zaka is and what you guys do?
So Zaka is an organization that was created, unfortunately, out of necessity. When someone is nifter, when someone dies in unnatural circumstances, could be there's bleeding involved. It could be that it was something as vicious as a terrorist attack. Things like that, Zaka goes in and other than the search and rescue aspects, they go in and they build, we pick up all of the unfortunate pieces of people. We believe as an Orthodox Jewish organization, it's our belief that when a Jew dies, that a Jew has to be buried literally with all of their parts. We come into the world whole, we should leave the world whole. So in times like this, unfortunately, there's a lot of work to be done to make sure that all of those pieces are carefully cataloged and treated with holiness and respect like they deserve so that they can be buried.
Incredible, absolutely incredible. Micha, you guys have been operating a lot out of Israel, and you guys were at some of the absolute worst things that were happening in Israel. How'd you guys end up there? I mean, you guys live in America, you guys live in New York.
So we do have an organization here that does search and rescue, and we do take care of something called Chesed Shel Emes, which in English means, what Chesed means. It means like the someone help me out here with the English that's on that.
Charity.
Kindness.
Charity. Yeah.
Charity of truth. So it's basically it means that the person that you're helping, who passed on, they can't really help themselves. They can't do anything here. So our job is to make sure that we could do everything for them, and there's no repayment for that. They can't give anything back to us. We're just doing it for the sake of the person, obviously, but also the mitzvah for the good deed. So we've been doing that here for quite some time, all four of us. And when it happened in Israel on October 7th, we were sitting and we were helping. We were sending stuff, bulletproof vests. We were sending, helmets and anything else that the soldiers needed. But we really, the four of us felt that we could do more. We wanted to do more, and we were separately really just trying to get there. And then we found out that we were all four doing it individually, so we came as a group. And we were going to not only help do this holy work, but we were also there to give chizuk to all the people who've been doing this for at that point already 2 weeks. We felt that it was important to show our face, to help people out, and it was important for us to do something. We couldn't just sit on the side and do nothing.
Now, John, this isn't a full-time gig for you guys. It is a full-time gig, or you guys like have other professions on top of this? Is this something you guys just dropped everything and said, hey, let's go fly off to Israel and recover bodies?
Listen, we're all adult men. We have lots of full-time gigs. We're full-time dads, full-time husbands, full-time Jews, full-time businessmen, and kindness is also full-time. As soon as this happens, we're all one people, as you know very well, Ari, and we all were bleeding. We're all mourning together. And as soon as this happened on October 7th, Jews around the entire world and non-Jews, everybody feels this pain, this suffering. We couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't sleep. We couldn't eat right. We couldn't, wherever we were, we're not present. Our minds were with our brothers and sisters in Israel. And we said, that's it. As soon as we got a request to come out and help, there was an overwhelming amount of work that had to be done. over, you know, almost 1500 bodies murdered and mutilated. We had no choice but to help relieve them. And we put our full-time jobs aside because it wasn't working anyway. You know, we were not here. So we went there. As soon as we got there, all four of us, we felt like we're exactly where we belong. You know, we went right in there early in the morning, the entire day, late at night, 100% eating and sleeping Zaka, you know, going to these, to the border, going to the, into the houses, helping, seeing the unimaginable and the unthinkable, and trying as much as we can to not stop, not take a break, not even a breath, just to keep working and bring every single one of these people back to their families with honor and put them back in the ground where they belong instead of splattered all over the walls. Amazing. So yes, this became our full-time gig.
Amazing. We're talking with some of the gentlemen of Zaka, a rescue recovery operation that's international and focusing a lot, unfortunately, right now in Israel. Isaac, we haven't gotten to you yet. When you guys first got to Israel, what was one of the first sites they sent you guys to?
So as soon as we got there, you know, we got there Sunday evening and we went straight knee deep into, you know, we went to one of the kibbutzim. It's one of these, like those neighborhoods that they call kibbutzim. They're little villages, pretty close to the Gaza border. And, you know, we slept a couple hours. We ate something, slept a couple hours, got up 6 a.m. and we went right to work, right into those houses, right into cleaning up. I mean, with, you know, rockets over our head, shooting at us, terrorists coming in. I mean, there was the army there, they were protecting us, but we got right knee deep into the work right away.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. After seeing the things you guys saw, you guys are recovering bodies, you're recovering body parts. Jesse, I mean, I'll start with you. How's your guys' mental health after all this? I mean, the things you saw, I know I've only seen the videos. I'm actually going to a screening of the Hamas footage next week for media, which I'm dreading. I'm absolutely dreading. You guys were in the middle of all this. How are you guys doing with all this, Jesse?
So I can only speak for myself. It's definitely not easy. There are times where it kind of feels like you're standing on the top of a blade of a knife, and here you're able to function, but a small thing like could be a song that I'm listening to or just a thought could kind of make me tear up and kind of go back into, I guess, into mourning mode, trying to think about what we were dealing with. But one of the things that we would have to do is kind of look at exactly what's right in front of us and deal with that, not looking at everything around us. Look at this one small piece, finish that, move on to the next piece, and just had to go methodically. Also, when I spoke to my wife about talking to her about getting the okay from the boss about coming to Eretz Yisrael, about going to Eretz Yisrael to be able to help, one of the things that were in the deal that I made with her was I will speak to someone when I get home because I have no idea what I'm going to see. I don't know how I'm going to be able to process it. And when people say man up, that's not a thing when you're talking about emotional and other kinds of trauma. Because sometimes you need help processing. And as soon as I came home, within a day or two of that, I spoke to a trauma therapist. She helped me work through a lot of stuff and figure out how I should deal with it. And for myself, it's through writing. And I know for myself, that's been tremendous. And it's helped me greatly. And hopefully everyone is finding their own ways to be able to process and work through it.
Thank you for sharing that. Micha, I'm in Seattle, Washington, which let's just say is the belly of the beast with regard to anti-Semitism, with regard to people denying any of this ever happened. I remember when we were all kids in school, they would always have Holocaust survivors come in and tell us, you have to tell the world because people won't believe it. If somebody said that to you, said, I don't believe anything you're saying, I don't believe anything you're seeing, I don't believe anything you saw, you're lying, you're making this all up, what would you tell them?
I tell them that there's, listen, we were there. We smelt it. We felt it. We were, you know, elbows deep in it. I mean, there's nothing closer, you know, to me than other than going. John has a great quote, drop the cheese Danish and come help us. We can bring him out there. Come and look. It's John's quote.
That's very good. So I'll switch over to John for a minute there. John, there's so much stuff in the media about this and starting to get lost. You know, people are talking about what's going on in Gaza, what's going on with the war, and they don't realize the cleanup efforts are still going on. Israel's still identifying bodies. What's something that's not making it into the media that you guys saw that you want everybody to know about?
I appreciate the question, Ari. The first thing I wanted to say, just to get back to that last question you said about people not believing, I think it's important for the world to hear that we don't need you to believe us. I don't need anybody to believe me about anything. I know what happened, and I believe that people choose what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe. We live in an upside down world today where people are literally bonkers with their belief systems. So number one, let the world know that we don't care. If you think it happened, didn't happen, if you want to continue to be blind, it's just like another day in the office for us. Number two, whenever somebody talks about Israel, you know, I lived in Israel for many, many years of my life. And I could always tell when somebody is talking from experience and when somebody's talking out of their ass, when someone's talking out of their big backside. And you know what I see? I see that anyone who has all these dark, nasty, negative, toxic opinions about what a Jew is, what Israel is, how evil we are. You know, Ari, we were there, and I have a couple of pictures on my phone. I saw a couple of Arabs in town, right smack in the middle of Jerusalem, sitting down eating a big, fat, juicy shawarma with a bunch of Orthodox Jews right behind them. Oh, look at that. Apartheid. How's my Arab friend doing here, sitting down pounding? Come with me, my friend. You don't believe us? Get out of your house. Like Micha said, hold my hand. Let's take a trip to Israel. And when you go to Israel, you know what you see? You're expecting to see blood and war and evil people that kill babies. But that's not what you see at all. You see a beautiful country filled with beautiful people, alive, happy, dancing, like the rally in Washington. Look around. Look what you see. You know what you see? You see smiles. You see American flags, Israeli flags. You see peace. You see people holding hands. You see people asking for help. You could ask me right now, do I want innocent Palestinians dead? No, I do not. Does anybody here want innocent Palestinians to die? No, we do not. We're not looking for death and destruction. We're looking for peace. We're looking for brotherhood. We're looking for happiness. So what's the one thing that I think the world doesn't see? The world doesn't see how beautiful it is to be in Israel. They don't see how beautiful the country is, how mixed, how many Arabs live there, how many Arabs have jobs there, and every hotel, every taxi driver, how many beautiful people are mixed into this unbelievable country of opportunity and growth. And if you want to have an opinion about it, just take a quick flight. I guarantee you'll probably have one of the best trips of your life, and your opinion will definitely change.
Right before COVID, I was at a wedding for somebody whose parents are very affluent in the Seattle area. It's a bunch of people from Bellevue. Now, for you guys, Bellevue is a mental hospital, but out here, it's a really, really nice neighborhood. And a bunch of people from out on the east side of Washington, of Seattle. And they were like, we thought we'd be seeing Bedouin tents. We thought we'd be camping in the desert. You know, and I'm like, yeah, well, then why'd you bring a tux for the wedding? You know, like, it's a real country, the beautiful place to see. Isaac, you guys are all volunteers. You guys don't really get paid for this. You guys, you know, you get some travel expenses maybe, but you're having this big fundraiser for Zaka right now. What's the money going towards?
So it's amazing that, you know, they have terrorist attacks. They have random things that happen. They went through... they have a backlog of 5 years worth of supplies. They used all of that in the first 2 days of cleaning up. They went through so many supplies. They needed more trucks. They didn't have where to put the bodies. They needed refrigerated trucks. They needed more equipment. They needed more body bags. They needed more. I mean, and then they needed, you know, they're going through, you can't begin to imagine the amount of materials you need to clean and change. You have to change each house. You know, your stuff gets full of blood. You need to put it into a bag, go to the next thing. And just gas. Think about gas. Gas in Israel is a fortune. They're driving 10 to 20 trucks down there a day with, you know, 50, 100 volunteers. I mean, just fuel to get there is super expensive. And these guys don't get paid. These guys do it all volunteer. And these guys actually closed their businesses and have been in this for almost 2 months. And some of these people can't even put food on the table, but they're not going to stop until they're done. So we're, you know, this raising the money is going to help the organization restock itself and get the members back on track. Also, a lot of this money is going to go to trauma therapy for these members so that they could continue doing what they do and not collapse and stop because of this.
Jesse, before we let you guys go, if people want to donate to the organization, what's the best way for them to do so? What's the best way for them to help out? Is there a website where they can learn more about all the amazing work you guys do?
ZakaWorld.org.
Yeah. ZakaWorld.org. Yeah, Z-A-K-A. Okay. Z-A-K-A, ZakaWorld.org.
ZakaWorld.org.
So I'll just say this before we let you guys go. Closing thoughts. Jesse, you've seen all this. You've seen all these awful things that you guys are doing the recovery of. I mean, is there any, I don't want to say regrets, that's the wrong word. Is there anything you wish you hadn't seen? Is there anything you wish you could do over? Anything you could change about all this, aside from obviously it never happening in the first place?
I think I'd even use the first word you used, which was regret. I regret coming home so soon. I wish that I had stayed longer and that I'd been able to work longer hours, 24 hours. I would have just popped caffeine pills. There's so much work to be done. I think I could speak for everyone that was on our team and just in Zaka as a whole. People would literally work as machines to get this done completely. And there's so much work to be done that I would definitely say regret. I regret that I don't have, that I didn't have more time to give. And I'm definitely hoping to be able to go back and help finish the job.
So by a show of hands, boys, does anybody disagree with what Jesse said? Let's do it that way.
No way.
No way. All on the same
we'll
page.
Go back. We'd be back there in a second. We'll go back in time. We'll do it even harder.
Amazing. We'll do it again in a few weeks if they still need it.
Amazing. 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 I am John and Isaac. I just met you just now. Jesse and Micha. I never knew all those years ago hanging out as teenagers that this is where we'd be today. I am so, so proud to know all of you. John and Isaac, I hope I get to meet you guys in person one day. But I'm just so proud I got to actually do this and give you guys a voice and hopefully get you guys some fundraising off this so you can continue doing the amazing work you're doing. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Amazing. I mean, thank you, Ari. And I'm sure everybody would want to do the same. We represent. It's an honor for us. And I'm sure any one of you guys would switch with us in a second and help. So we just got the merit and the opportunity to do it. But thank you, man. Thank you for this opportunity.
Amazing. The website is ZakaWorld.com. ZakaWorld.com. Is it .org? Excuse me. The website is ZakaWorld.org. You can head on over there. You can donate. You can learn more about what Zaka does. And when you see the neon vests, they are on our side. Not what you usually see in the Seattle area, not what you see at these Hamas protests. When you see the Hebrew writing on them, they are the ones who are doing the ultimate mitzvah, the ultimate good deed of helping those who can't help themselves. Jesse Vogel, Michal Leder, John Strick, Isaac Stern, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome, buddy.
Have a good one.
God bless.
You guys take care now.
You will.
We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.